This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. It is no secret that Malaysia is not party to the 1951 Refugee Convention and that the country has not set up any formal entity nor framework to respond to the presence of refugees here. According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, the UN Refugee Agency in Malaysia, there are some 154,000 refugees in our country as of the end of April this year. Mahi Ramakrishnan, a journalist, BBC local contact who investigated the Richard Huckle story and broke it in Malaysia, but we're not going to talk about that, a filmmaker and the director of a refugee festival that will happen in a week's time. It is in this last capacity that she's here in the studio. Mahi, how aware are Malaysians about the presence of refugees in the country?
Okay, I'm going to answer that through my own experience. I've run projects and campaigns, particularly in responding to a crisis which is unfolding. Meaning, if we find a family that really needs help, or we find a group of people who are completely stranded. So my call has always been for food, aid, and even cash donations. And I must tell you, it has always been heartwarming because the response has been overwhelming from Malaysians. They are compassionate, they want to know, they want to give. Yes, I do understand that there must be another segment of the Malaysian society that may feel a little bit wary or skeptical or even afraid. But that, I believe, is only a small part. The response from the Malaysians have always been overwhelming, at least in my case.
If that's the case, then why a special festival?
Good question. Actually, this festival is in recognition and a celebration of the grit, determination, passion, and the hope that every refugee holds. It's actually to say, hey, we understand what you have gone through. And, you know, yes, it's serious, it's heartbreaking, it's full of abuse, the whole journey and the whole process of actually getting to another country. But, you know, we as Malaysians, we understand and acknowledge that you're a part of our society, a part of the Malaysian society, because you are here. And we would like to celebrate your presence. We would like to celebrate your journey of hope.
So it's less an awareness kind of a festival, less of an awareness campaign, but more of a celebratory one.
Well, in the celebration, people will learn, don't you think? That's a good question. But the thing is, we are hoping that people who turn up will be able to see the refugees, talk to them, understand where they come from, and also partake in the celebration in the sense that watch the performances, listen to their stories.
Why is it important for us to do that?
Because they are a part of our society. It's always good to know your neighbor, don't you think? You know, the minute your neighbor walks in to your neighborhood, you're already baking a pie or a cake, or at least in my case, I do that. And then you wrap it up nicely and you turn up at their doorstep and say, hey, here I am and welcome. This is exactly what we're doing.
So what difference does it make then that our country is a party to or not a party to this refugee convention?
You know, Malaysia not ratifying the 1951 UN Refugee Convention has always cropped up now and again. I'm not sure. The government may never ratify it. But to be fair to the Malaysian government, I know United Nations says more than 100,000, but, you know, I believe that there will be easily 300,000 refugees in Malaysia. And yes, we have some immigration raids that actually tries to nab them. But, you know, the fact is they are allowed to be here. They have not been sent back. So that is already a positive step. So it is something good. So whether the government has ratified or not does not really play a picture here in this festival, but when it comes to the lives of the refugees, it does, because it puts them in a legal limbo. They can't work, they can't send their children to school, and they can't seek medical help. And there is also counseling and domestic violence, which is prevalent in the refugee community. But we cannot really look at all this because the government has not ratified the convention. But having said that, the government does have a responsibility to look at certain aspects of the refugees, like, for example, children and education. Because although Malaysia has ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child, it has got some reservations, particularly to Article 28. But the Malaysian government is committed towards the Sustainable Development Goals by the United Nations, Agenda 2030. And goal number 4 talks about inclusive education. So yes, we do have an obligation to look at certain aspects of the refugee life, particularly when it comes to children and education.
Regardless that we are signatory or not signatory to the convention.
Yes, because of the commitment to the Agenda 2030. And also Malaysia has ratified the Convention against the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. And 40% of the refugee community are women. Yes, the government has a moral obligation to look into these things. But also, like I say, whether or not Malaysia has ratified the convention, the fact is people are fleeing into Malaysia, particularly, like, for example, from Burma, the Rohingya. You have not stopped the influx into Malaysia. So that influx is continuing and we need to address it.
In signing the convention, if the government signs the convention, would it make any difference to you and me? What I mean is to the people on the street.
Yeah, to the Malaysians, no, but
will
to
it
the
make
refugee-
us become more aware? Will somehow we become more protective of them?
Let me answer the question again. If the government ratifies the convention, it's going to be great for the refugees. And there is no need to panic here because the fact is they are already fleeing into Malaysia. So whether you sign the convention or not, you know, they are fleeing. You can't really stop it. Unless there's a political will to look at corrupt regimes and then to do something in terms of lobbying them, which is big, tedious work. But for Malaysians, you know, what does it really matter? Because they are here. They are here and they are a part of our Malaysian society. Now, if the convention is ratified, or even if the convention is not ratified and the refugees are allowed to work, it's going to be great. We do not have to ask for people to come from overseas. We do not have to import workers. We already have an existing workforce in Malaysia. We have the refugee community. All we need to do is retrain them, reskill them, and get them to work in our industries and, you know, ask them to pay taxes and contribute something towards healthcare. And it'll work perfectly.
Before we get to the festival, one more question about this. You know, like you said, the government signs this convention. It will not really make any difference to most of us. In other words, our daily lives will not be affected at all.
No, the daily lives of Malaysians will not be affected. I have done enough news reports on the refugees and I have spoken to UMNO ministers as well as members of parliament. And they've always raised this question of opening up the floodgates if Malaysia signs on the convention. That is not really true. If you really look at what is happening in terms of refugees fleeing, it's always the push factor. It is never the pull factor. It's not like they want to abandon their home and their roots and run into Malaysia because Malaysia is suddenly so appealing. It's because they face death, persecution, abuse, rape. They have no choice but to flee.
I'm talking to Mahi Ramakrishnan, a journalist and the festival director of this refugee festival in Publica next weekend. Coming up, we'll talk about what this festival entails, what is being offered, and who are the people who will be presenting. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Kulo vale ti chapu se de kege te naku va de kege te naku. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng speaking with Mahi Ramakrishnan. She is the festival director of the Refugee Festival at Publica, which is happening next weekend. Mahi, are different groups of refugees treated differently?
How do we answer that question when the fact is the government does not recognize refugees? So if you're referring to the welcome call by the Malaysian Prime Minister to the Syrians, I do not understand that as well, because I do not understand why we are welcoming a group of people and we are not looking into the welfare and the essential needs of refugees who are already here in Malaysia. That kind of baffles me as well.
Okay, going to the festival. What's on the cards?
Okay, this is a 3-day festival. We have a launch on the 24th of June. It's at 3 p.m. and it's launched by Mr. Charles Santiago, an opposition MP. But he's launching it in his capacity as the chairperson of the ASEAN Parliamentarians for Human Rights. And we also have a very special guest with us on that day. He is Dr. Muthukumar Murugesu. He is an ENT surgeon and he's based in Manipal Hospital. The reason he's our special guest is because he has helped a lot of Rohingya refugee children, particularly with medical care and attention. So it's going to be a 3-day festival and we have got the launch on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, which is the 25th of June and the 26th of June, we have programs from 4 right up to 9 o'clock in the evening. We also have a bazaar happening. It's a small bazaar because we do not really have that much space in Black Box. And it is
you
run
mean you're
by-
going to have everything in the Black Box? Because I understand you'll have exhibitions of photographs. You're going to have talks and forums. You're going to have art presentation. Tell me now how.
Now that you say it with that kind of tone, it's really quite daunting. But the thing is that, trust me, it'll work out. Because I have a partner, Goli Kwang, and myself. We have gone into Black Box and we have looked at the different walls which can be used to exhibit the photos. So there's going to be 3 photo exhibitions. One is by a Romanian photojournalist, Alexandra Radu. She has looked into the stateless Rohingya kids in Malaysia and what it means to be growing up stateless in Malaysia for the refugee children. And there's one more by the Getanew Foundation looking at the Achinese fishermen who helped the Rohingya when they turned up at their shores. And then one is from the Yayasan Chowkit refugee kids, 16 of them who have looked at life in Kuala Lumpur, referring to the city as belonging to them, while there are lots of people who say that they do not belong here.
They are Rohingya kids?
They're refugee children.
But from?
A different group of refugee kids. So there is a space constraint, yes. But we are kind of like sorted it out, thought it out, and I'm pretty sure it'll work out.
Have you partitioned the space out so that discussion in one may not be disturbed by or interfered with by people walking around and seeing the exhibition? Or that basically only one thing can take place at any one time?
Again, that's so daunting. But let me assure you, there's going to be order in chaos here. We haven't done partitioning because, you know, it just doesn't work like that. The noise level, yes, there might be a little bit of noise, which may be disturbing, but I pretty much believe that it can be kept. It'll be under control. It'll work out.
What kinds of performances are you having in this festival?
We have got performances, dancing and singing by refugee children from the Somalian community. Initially, the Chin community, they were also supposed to take part, but they couldn't because of school examinations. And then we also have photo presentation by refugee kids. We will have...
When you say photo presentation by the refugee kids, what you mean is that they will have an exhibition of their photography?
There is going to be an exhibition of their photography, the Yayasan Chowkit, but there's also going to be a 17-year-old refugee who will present it, do a video presentation.
Of his photograph?
Of her photos. Because we really wanted as much participation from the refugee community as possible, because it's also a way of them coming out there, standing in front of people and talking about themselves and what really matters to them, what inspires them.
And tell their stories.
And tell their stories. Exactly. That's for us very important. We also have an Algerian artist who is going to be doing some work with her artwork as a way of expressing the emotions of refugees. And a good friend of mine, David Verbacht, he will be doing a photo exhibition of his photos, which talks about the migration of the refugees from one transit point to the other in Europe.
Which group did he follow? The Syrians?
But there are also the Afghanis, people from Burma as well, and different groups of people. But it's focused on the Syrians, and it looks at their journey from one European country to the other.
He's making this presentation over Skype.
Yeah, he is making it over Skype because he's going to be in India doing some work on the refugees, Rohingya refugees there. So we have already tailored time and he will get it done over the Skype, which means that he's going to be put on Skype and then there'll be a projector which will project the photos. And David will be able to look at the photos and then tell the stories because his stories are incredible. I mean, his photos are stunning, but what is going to make but the presentation work is his story.
Because he's making this presentation over Skype, which means then whatever pictures that he's going to be showing will be only during the time when he's on Skype. After that, we won't get to see the pictures. So in other words, if you don't attend the presentation, you're not going to see them.
Yes, it's definitely your loss. So yes, please come. But also, he has got his photos on Facebook.
You mentioned that his works are also going to be presented in the metro in Singapore?
Yes. If I am not mistaken, it is in October or sometime later this year. His work will be presented on the metro in Singapore.
There is also a poetry slam.
Oh my God, it's by the incredibly talented and my favorite spoken word poet, Melissa Rani, T. Selva. She's hosting it. It is her idea, actually, to incorporate as much as possible the voices of the refugees. So what I've done is I worked with her to look for poets, not professional poets, but people who write poetry, like myself, you know, when I'm lonely and desperate. So the thing is that, yeah. So what we have done is we have asked these people to come forward with their poem, and it will be incorporated, which means that they will actually be present there and they will read out the poetry. Some of the poems are hers, but there are also poems from the refugee community themselves. So these poets from the refugee community will actually be there. And because it's a slam, she's going to pick a few people from the audience to be the judges as well. So it's going to be a really interesting, lively, exciting two-hour performance.
And you have films that will be screened in that same space.
Yeah, there's going to be a film at the launch, which is by the Goethe New Foundation, again looking at the efforts by the fishermen helping the Rohingya. And then Saturday and Sunday will close with films. One is by Sutip. He is a Thai director. He has done this film about the... It's a multimedia presentation, actually, on the Rohingya. And the last film is called Displaced by Emil. And she has looked at Syrians in France. Now, on the sidelines of the festival, I'm also launching a film of mine called Bodies for Sale. It uses visuals and storytelling to actually tell the story of slavery and abuse by traffickers and focuses on the Rohingya refugee community.
How many different communities of refugees are there in the country? You've mentioned Syrians, Rohingyans, you mentioned some of the Chins.
The Chin, the Kachin, the Karen, and there are also the Sri Lankan Tamils, the Somalian community as well. And I also know that the Afghan community is here and also the Hazaras are also here. I'm actually asking people to just come. Come, you know, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just come, relax, chill, watch the performances, talk to the refugees, taste their food, you know, experience their culture a little bit. We Malaysian people have actually been extremely welcoming of the refugees. A large segment of us have, and we have done a lot. There are also NGOs working on refugees, and everyone is doing their part. But I believe that we can do more. So as a way of doing more, we're actually running a postcard campaign to the Malaysian Prime Minister. The content of the postcard is actually about allowing refugee children access to formal education as a way of staying committed to Agenda 2030, which actually talks about inclusive education for all. So I'm asking Malaysians to turn up, not just Malaysians, but everyone in Malaysia to come. And there are 1,000 postcards. So, hey, guys, I need your signature out there. So please come, sign on it, and we will make sure that all 1,000 postcards get delivered to the Malaysian Prime Minister.
Thank you very much, Mai. The Refugee Festival at Publica will be launched on Friday, June 24th at 3 p.m. in Publica's Black Box. The invited guests include Yang Berhormat Mr. Charles Santiago, the chairperson of the ASEAN Parliamentarians for Human Rights, who will not only launch the festival but be giving the opening speech. The festival will run till 9 p.m. with photo presentations over Skype on refugee crisis elsewhere. There'll be performances, poetry reading, art presentations, discussions, forums, several film screenings. So again, Friday, June 24th, 3 p.m. it opens and will run the whole weekend. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. والمخارج واحفظ بلاد المسلمين عن اليمائن والشمائل مستضعفين.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.